For the patients, to the public who may be joining us, and the city staff and the commissioners, it is 6:40 PM, and let's call this session to order, and let's begin with the roll call.
Okay. Jason Carnell?
Present.
Commissioner Paul Young?
Here.
Commissioner Jerry Bush?
Here.
Commissioner Patrick Flynn?
Virtually here.
Commissioner Judy Chipman?
Here.
Commissioner Stan Okanaka?
I'm present.
And Commissioner Gary Reitenauer?
Here.
Very good. Are there any late changes to the agenda?
There are not.
Terrific. And I hope everyone has had a chance to review the minutes from our last meeting.
I move that we approve the Wednesday to February 5th meeting minutes.
Do I have a second?
A second. This is Stan.
And I'm Jerry Bush, and made the motion. Sorry.
And do we want to do a roll call, or is it okay if we just have a voice vote here?
Just voice. Voice vote. It's fine.
Voice vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes from our previous meeting from February 5th, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? No, motion passes. We are now going to move into a public hearing. I'm going to read a statement, and then I will open the hearing. If you signed up with the clerk prior to the meeting to address the Planning Commission, your name will be called and the clerk will send you permission to unmute your microphone so you are able to make your comments. If you have not provided notice in advance to speak during the public hearing, please use the raise hand feature during the public hearing if you wish to make a comment. The clerk will send you permission to unmute your microphone so you are able to make your comments. For the controls over the phone, you press *9 to raise your hand and press *6 to mute or unmute. This is a live meeting. Please state your name and limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. There will be no back and forth between the commission, the commissioners, or the public. And I will now open the public hearing.
Thank you, Chair Flynn. This is Claire Lust, Community Development Director here in Ridgefield. Before I go any further, I'd just like to say a reminder that if you can, to mute yourself when you're not talking so we can reduce background noise for our recording of this meeting. All right, so the public hearing before you this evening is a round of code amendments to Title 18 of the Ridgefield Municipal Code, also known as the Ridgefield Development Code. And I'm going to go ahead and share my screen here real quick. All right. Can everyone see this PowerPoint? Perfect. All right, so the purpose of our regular amendment proposals is to keep the code up to date and to address current development issues in order to better serve the Ridgefield community. Now, back in February, the Planning Commission heard a public hearing for a round of code amendments to Title 18 and approved that they be forwarded to council. This was right before COVID, and they never went to council, and it's been long enough that we are looping back to those proposed amendments, with some taken out, some added in, some slightly edited. So some of these may seem familiar to you, others will be new. So the proposed amendments intend to update the code to address issues identified when applying the existing code, as well as issues anticipated for future projects in Ridgefield. For this round of updates, staff have identified two types of proposed code amendments, the first being housekeeping amendments, which address clerical errors and clarify existing code language without substantive changes to the content. And the second type being minor policy changes that add content to strengthen the code with the goal to better implement the comprehensive plan and existing city policies and practices. We'll start with housekeeping updates. I haven't put full text here on the screen. So if you have the code amendment table that was part of your packet in front of you, I'll try to call page numbers as we're going so you can follow along. The housekeeping amendments proposed, as I mentioned, are really here to address clerical errors, clarify existing code language. And because these aren't making substantive changes, I'm not going to go through them one by one. If you have read through and have any questions, I'm happy to take those and discuss at the end of the presentation. Moving along to sort of the bulk of the proposed code amendments fall into this category of minor policy changes. And we'll start out with the proposed changes to 18100 definitions. So we propose to add or amend three definitions. The first is the NAICS, which is the North American Industry Classification System. Every once in a while, we come across a use that isn't strictly defined in our use table. And this classification system is a reference that staff uses to figure out which use the undefined use is most similar to in order to determine whether or not it's allowed. So adding this definition sort of formalizes that research process. The proposed amendment to the final plat definition includes binding site plan and acknowledges that as a type of final plat. And the proposed amendment to self-storage adds a sentence in here defining that rental of moving vehicles may be included as an accessory use at a self-storage facility. This is to allow a rental of moving vehicles that are secondary and associated with the self-storage businesses. Moving along to the next section here is the proposed amendment to 18205 uses. This just links back to that NAICS code definition that I just touched on, and it references it in the unlisted uses section of code as a cross-reference.
Do we ask questions now or wait till you go all the way through this?
I can take questions now.
Well, going back, streets, sure, and walls, and you have, I have this, by the way, that was handed out. And on the fences and wall materials, you have fences shall be consistent with the overall building design and constructed of treated wood, which is red, wrought iron, brick, stone, and concrete blocks, and all the way in. I like to know why we can't use a veneer in that sentence, because there's a lot of fences that are vinyl, not veneer, vinyl.
So the proposed change here is simply to add treated to the wood, so to prevent folks from building fences with untreated wood. If the Planning Commission would like to, pass this on to council with veneer added in that, that is something that can be proposed as part of the motion.
Well, I'll go one other one, 18235.060. It says in the last sentence, however, the use of untreated wood, vinyl, plywood, or composition of sheeting as a fence material is not prevented. So I'm kind of confused here. Is vinyl not used or used, can be used? Because I have a vinyl fence, that's the problem. I put it in 2000.
Yeah, so as defined in that later section you mentioned, which we will get to, yeah, vinyl is currently in the list of prohibited fence materials. This, as written, the proposal for 18230 does not propose to add it to the list of permitted fence materials, but if that is a direction Planning Commission wants to go, again, that could be part of the proposal passed along to council.
Okay, so they have to okay the vinyl part of it, correct? Is that what I'm understanding?
So all of these proposed code updates, at the end of the presentation, Planning Commission will make a motion to either approve with amendments, or deny passing forward to City Council for approval. So they will all go through City Council.
Okay, well, I'm just going to add one other thing, is that if you look over at Hillhurst and all these other developments, a lot of vinyl is being used for fences. It's everywhere.
So these are not residential code sections. The ones before you this evening are for commercial districts.
Well, I'm talking about residential subdivisions where they have vinyl fences for their entrance ways and things like that.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm gonna table this because the language in here that refers to vinyl fences not being allowed is the commercial code, not the residential code.
Okay.
No amendments to the residential fence code are proposed.
Okay, well, that's what I thought this was residential. I didn't realize. Okay, so you have to separate these then. Okay, I understand what's going on.
Okay, I'm gonna jump back in here. I believe I was on the proposed amendments to 18205 uses. Again, this is just adding a reference back to the NICIS use classification that we proposed adding that definition. The next topic here is section 18.210, which is your residential low density districts. It was brought to our attention by several builders that work in Ridgefield that a component of our garage design standards requiring garages to be recessed from the front facade by 4 feet was not really serving its intent and was in fact limiting their options for building facades and creating more cookie cutter neighborhoods than the city would like to see. So in order to increase builders' options and increase variety while still maintaining good design, including garage design, the proposal here for 18210 is to add a couple of options. So we're keeping the existing option, which is to set back the garage or carport by 4 feet from the front building facade, adding an option to instead meet enhanced architectural design standards. And then adding a third option to develop the home under the National Green Building Standards, which are specified in the building code. For the part of the proposal, which is to allow builders to meet the enhanced architectural design standards, we already have in the code a list of sort of a menu of architectural design standards. Typically they have to choose three, the enhanced path, they would have to choose six. So that's the next section of the proposed updates under 18210. And then just sort of putting that menu of options in a more legible form and adding a few things to it.
Am I missing something? Is that one not in the chart in the meeting packet?
It should be.
Oh, yeah, unless I'm missing it. Someone
Yeah.
So we are under minor policy changes 18.210.120.
What page is that?
Packet page 12 and page 13.
Okay, I was on page 9. Oh, there it is. Okay, sorry. Thanks.
No problem. And then I do have different page numbers from you, so I'm trying not to call them out and be confusing, but it sounds like we're on around page 13 right now. The last part of that proposed amendment to 18.210, which again all deals with garage design, is for, there was a bit of language in there that contradicted the townhouse garage design section of the code. So the proposal is to reconcile that and simply refer to that townhouse design standard so that the two sections aren't inconsistent. Okay. Moving down the table here, the next section with proposed changes is 18.230, which is commercial districts. The city has a transparency zone standard for new commercial development, requiring 60% window and door transparency, basically at body height on new buildings. And the idea there is to create a welcoming pedestrian streetscape. In project review, we've definitely found cases where the proposal doesn't quite get to 60%, but they are providing a good design with features that create a welcoming streetscape. So the proposed change here is to add a little leniency to that strict 60%. And offer an option to reduce that by 20% if a developer can prove that it's not practical to meet the 60%, and they sort of bump up their building entry design requirements and facade articulation requirements to make sure that nice walkable streetscape is being achieved. All right, moving down once more, 18.235 is mixed use districts. This is one of the places where we talk about fences. And similar to the prior fence update we went over, the proposal here, previously wood was not allowed in mixed use district fences. Here the proposal is to allow treated wood, but not untreated wood. And then the second part of this is to allow residential uses in mixed use developments to be fenced. As the code exists, fences aren't allowed on certain street frontages, but which makes sense for the, you know, the commercial portions of a mixed use development. But when there are residential portions, the proposal here is to allow fencing to create more privacy. Section 18.240 is employment districts. There is currently in the code a standard requiring that no more than 50% of a lot abutting an arterial, minor arterial, or collector be dedicated to a parking area. And this was, I believe, originally pulled from the commercial standards. It's something, you know, where you're pushing the building up towards the sidewalk to create a community where pedestrians are walking from store to office, and things are really public. You're not just seeing parking lots. In the employment district, the effect is maybe a little different. So the proposal here is to loosen that requirement for sites with industrial uses, like large-scale industrial uses, so that we can avoid pushing large industrial buildings needlessly close to the street. And instead focus more on how to best design the site for things like truck circulation. And then in the, again, in these 18240, the employment zone section, one last reference to fences here. This one's just sort of to clean up the language, make it gel with other fence language in the code, and then clarify that in the employment zone, when it's necessary for the use, say for security, of an outdoor storage area, but chain linked or barbed wire fencing can be allowed.
Did you say chain link?
Correct.
I might have some wrong information here. I was just trying to think, because some of the HOAs do not allow chain link fences.
So this is not, again, this isn't residential.
Just what we're talking about is commercial.
This is for the employment zone, so office, industrial, that kind of use.
All right.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was working into the residential end of it.
No, no proposed changes to the any residential fence standards in this round of code updates. All right, I think that's the last fence one in here. The next section is 18280. Critical areas protection. Okay. Should have been keeping up a little better on my slideshow. So 18280, the first one here is to strike a reference to final site plan, which I will loop back to in a minute. The second part has to do with density transfer allowance. The code permits applicants to transfer density from areas of their project that are encumbered with critical areas. So basically they are able to add more lots in the parts of the project that are buildable. And one of the requirements of doing so is that they then provide mitigation and enhance the function of the critical areas on site. Not super well defined how, to what extent they have to do that. And so the proposal is to add a sentence in there, putting the burden on the applicant, more specifically on the biologists or ecologists they hire to provide these critical area reports, to put the burden on them to prove that the enhancements are proportionate to the increase in density. All right, section 18.310 is about development agreements. The proposal here is to impose limits on the term of development agreements to avoid situations where big multi-phase projects are bound to outdated standards many, many years after an agreement was initially recorded. So the proposal is that the term of the agreement be no longer than 5 years, and then it can go back to council to be extended to up to 15 years total.
That's a very good change. Yeah.
Moving on from that, section 18350, modifications to standards. This is a proposed addition to the list of approval criteria that an applicant has to meet in order to be approved for an adjustment or variance to a numerical standard in the code. And the proposal is to add this line stating the proposed adjustment shall demonstrate how the development provides through the design of the building or development site benefit to the community as a result of granting an adjustment. So this is just sort of an extra layer of protection for the city in this process to ensure that while the applicant is able to adjust code standards to develop in a way that makes sense to them, that the community and the city is getting something in return. All right, the next section is a long one. It's 18395, enforcement procedures and penalties. So this is the code section that covers the city's code enforcement process. And the proposed changes in here, basically it comes down to, as the code exists, there are three steps that the code enforcement officer and the city go through before the city is able to impose a fine or another civil penalty. Steps two and three, if you read in the code, are pretty redundant of one another. So the proposal is to collapse those into one step. You have the initial notice is the first step, and then the corrective order and notice of potential penalty is the second step. If they don't fix the problem after that second step, then the city has the authority to impose a fine or other civil penalty. So the idea here is just to streamline the process from code complaint to resolution. And then there are just some more housekeeping type updates to language in here, making sure that the staff described as doing different steps in this process is accurate and reflects our reality, basically. So long section, lots going on. I'm happy to delve into more details during the discussion, but the upshot is the proposal is to shorten and streamline the code enforcement process and ideally make it more enforceable.
Good.
Yeah.
Do we have any members of the public? I'm sorry, Claire, you're finished now, correct?
No, I'm not finished. I thought I heard someone say my name. That's why I looked up there. So not finished, but that takes us to pretty close to the end of the matrix here. If you'll find section 18.500, site plan review.
Yep, I got it.
So our existing code has a procedure for final site plan review, and it's been really difficult to do in practice. It seems like for different projects, it sort of makes sense at a different point in the process, be that before or after engineering review, concurrent with final occupancy, concurrent with submittal of building plans, and which kind of leads to inconsistent implementation, which isn't fair to the applicant. So the proposal is to strike the final site plan process. We're already doing this in practice. In fact, it's not on our fee schedule anymore. What we've been doing instead and hope to formalize through this code update is to strike the final site plan review. Instead, the planning staff is checking when engineering plans are submitted that site plan matches the approved preliminary site plan. And then once again, when the applicant is coming in for final occupancy, checking that any conditions of the preliminary site plan have been met at that point. So far, it's working really well. And has actually, as a benefit, I think increased the coordination between the planning and the engineering departments, which is very nice. All right, home stretch. Section 18.710 is signs. We have a proposal to add one item to the list of prohibited signs, which is backlit cabinet signs made from acrylic or plexiglass. Basically, this is a sign type that doesn't age well and appears cheap. And then the other proposed amendments under signs are to add a definition and provisions for ranch style archway signs at subdivision entries. We've had some interest from the development community in doing this. So the proposal here is just to add some specifications to make that possible when folks come in and apply for a sign permit. Again, this would be for subdivision entryways.
Did we resolve 18710.30 exemptions? Was that on your list? I have the one that you handed out to us in February with all the red in it. That's on
yeah,
the file.
There were some things from the February that we ended up taking out. So
just
I don't have
on the flags. I'm just curious about it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have the February list in front of me.
That's what I was going by, because some of it's crossed out and then some of it's all in red, of course.
Oh yeah. So these aren't the same as the February proposals. There's a lot of overlap, but there was a new matrix in the packet is what I'm going off of.
Okay. So what are we doing about flags? And I'm just curious.
We'll probably have to.
Are we going by what?
Like
what
this,
it is already, or was it in the past, or what is crossed out on it?
We'll
so again, I don't have the February proposal in front of me. So I'm not quite sure what you are referring to. There is something for flags in the back in the housekeeping updates. But I'm gonna finish up with the last proposed update here, and then we can loop back to that in the discussion if you'd like. So the last proposed code amendment is to the landscaping code 18.725. And these have to do with landscaping that's installed between drive-throughs or other vehicle areas in the public right-of-way. So landscaping that's meant to screen vehicle lights. So it's adding an enhanced requirement for the size of shrubs that are planted, and then adding sort of a general statement that when landscaping materials are required to screen vehicle areas, they should provide opacity at the time of planting, rather than being very small at the time of planting and then growing up years later. Of course, if that's not possible, we would entertain other options like a berm or landscaping boulders, but just providing another layer of protection there to ensure that required landscaping materials are doing their job. And that is the last proposed code update.
This is Gary Reitnauer. May I ask a question?
Yes.
On 18500, in my previous career as fire marshal for a city, oftentimes it sounds in this like they don't do a final occupancy inspection. And sometimes people will change what they actually build or
mm-hmm.
what they actually put in, but they don't have it in their plans or approved. Do we still do a final occupancy inspection?
Correct, we do a final occupancy. So planning, engineering, and building all do a final occupancy inspection.
Okay, so they can't change what was approved.
They could not.
Sneak some, okay, that's all I need.
No, yeah, so instead of checking that they're not being sneaky at final site plan, which is kind of hard to figure out and control, we're checking it first when they submit their engineering review, which includes a site plan, and then doing a second final check at final occupancy.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Like I said, I have the February 5th changes, because you know it's all red and crossed out, etc., you know, and you don't have any copy. But how did you work around this when we shut down everything with the coronavirus? How'd you work around this? That must have been pretty difficult. I'm just curious how you did that.
Well, we had to put a lot of things on pause, like planning commission, but yeah, we've been working pretty hard to, you know, make sure people can submit things electronically, meet us outside the office. We've done a lot of virtual meetings.
Well, I'm sorry, Jerry, do you have something?
No, go ahead.
Well, I'd just like to remind everyone that we are in a public hearing. If we do have any members of the public on the telephone or on the conference, I think now okay. I'm gonna hear from them.
Yeah.
Dorothy, do we have anyone from the public?
We do have one attendee. He has not raised his hand to speak. Oh, sorry.
Chair Flynn, I don't believe we had anyone signed up to speak. But again, if there are members of the public, they can.
There was one attendee.
Sorry,
there was one attendee, and he has not raised his hand to speak. So,
if the the member of the public does want to speak, if you're on Zoom, you can raise your hand down at the bottom of the screen if you'd like to speak. If you're on the phone, you can press *9, and we'll give you a few seconds. I'm seeing he's just viewing. I think we would like to close the public hearing before we move on to discussion and debate amongst the commissioners. So I will call for a motion to close the public hearing.
I so move. Close the meeting.
Do we have a second?
I'll second, Judy Chipman.
All right. All those in favor of closing the public hearing, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No, it passes unanimously. The public hearing is closed. Debate and discussion amongst the commissioners and the city. While Jerry's looking for his next question, does anybody else have a question for the staff?
I don't have any questions anymore. I'm running out.
All right. It sounds like we don't have any other questions. I believe we do need to have a motion to push this forward. Is that correct, Claire?
Yeah. So let me reference my notes here. So the staff recommendation is that staff recommends the Planning Commission forward a recommendation of approval of the proposed Ridgefield Municipal Code Title 18 amendments to City Council.
Do we have a motion?
I have a motion on that, but I'll have Claire say it again for me. Or you don't have to. I don't know what the process is in this situation, but
we're just moving to
make the motion at what Claire read.
All right, so Jerry is making a motion to forward the 2020 Ridgefield Development Code updates to the City Council. Do we have a second?
A second.
Commissioner Carnell seconds. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No, it passes unanimously. Staff reports, please.
Can I say one thing, please? I beat you, Pat.
We do have from the commission.
Yeah, I just want to compliment Claire on doing a great job. I know it wasn't easy, so I just want to let her know she did a great job. Thank you, Claire.
Thank you, Jerry.
Now you can go ahead and talk, Pat.
Okay. I don't have too much for a staff report. I know it's been a long time since we met, so just a general update. Our development activity over the past 7 months has really not let up. We've been fortunate to have weathered the coronavirus limitations fairly well in our department. We're seeing a lot of new building, engineering, and planning applications come in every week, and we're issuing them back out just as fast. So it's been pretty positive on that end. Our department revenue, it's compared to the hit we were predicting back in March, we've really sprung back from that and are looking at another good year. That's sort of the overall update of how the department's doing. Of course, if any of you anytime during the month have questions about projects or interested in virtually attending pre-apps or just have any questions about what's going on, go ahead and give me a call or email anytime. That's all I have.
Excellent. Thank you, Claire. I'm just going to call on each commissioner if they have any input. We're just going to go in the order you appear on my screen. So, Commissioner Chipman, do you have anything you'd like to share?
Well, I'd like to ask a question. So did we get any kind of a notice that Louisa was no longer working for the city? Did anyone get a notice or?
No.
I wasn't aware of it at all till tonight. I'm very thrilled for Claire. I was just wondering if we were notified in any way.
No, I wasn't. I didn't know. I didn't hear anything.
I think the powers that be dropped the ball on that one a little bit, but yeah.
Well, you had enough on your plate. We understand.
So perhaps the norm would have been that perhaps they would have sent us an email and at least let us know.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, it's different times. You know, I understand that. But so my other question is that in reading the report on all the new building permits and whatever, do we have any type of a coordination that ever happens, like with the school district and with the school board about, you know, the amount of building permits that we're doing
Absolutely, yeah. Our city manager and the school superintendent work pretty closely together on that. And yes, the school district is definitely aware of the growth that is happening.
Okay, because I mean, it's so troublesome when I see, you know, the bond didn't pass and all of these building permits, which is, you know, it's frightening thinking about what could happen in the future, very, very quickly in the future, so. Okay, that's all I have to say, really, just things I've been thinking about. Too much time to think.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Chipman. Commissioner Reitenauer.
No, I don't have anything.
Very good. Good to see your face anyway. Commissioner Carnell?
I have nothing to add.
All right. Commissioner Okinaka?
I do, actually. I sit on the board of Ridgefield and Main Street, and the only bad news that I have to announce is that because of this COVID virus, the Oktoberfest scheduled for September is going to be canceled for this year. Despite that, under the great leadership of our executive director, Mary Kay Lamoureux, Ridgefield Main Street has been just going gangbusters in terms of trying to help the city revitalize the economy. For example, as you know, we have annually this tax incentive credit program, and even though all these businesses were down, we're basically able to collect almost 100% of our $95,000, which was just wonderful. A couple of the other activities is that we've initiated this recovery grant program where we're working with Ridgefield businesses where we reimburse them 50% in terms of helping them buy and have these protective masks and, you know, things like that to help them remain open. We're working in conjunction with the city to help outdoor dining. So, and I think if you go by a lot of these restaurants, you'll see a lot of outdoor seating areas. We encourage everyone to support these businesses downtown because, you know, they could really use our help. I don't know if we've been actively engaged in working with these downtown businesses to improve their facade. A lot of great stuff going on. They're also being sold downtown, these Ridgefield Main Street coffee mugs. And that's another way of helping these businesses generate some income. So things are real busy at Ridgefield Main Street, and I'm really proud to be part of that. Thanks.
Stan, can I ask you a question? Do you guys work with the Chamber of Commerce?
No.
You don't, okay.
Thank you, Stan. All good things coming from Ridgefield Main Street. I know you work hard and that organization's doing a tremendous job. Commissioner Young.
I have nothing other than just I'm happy to see you guys.
Can I say something here, Patrick? Because
you have the floor, Commissioner Bush.
Thank you. I'm just curious, you know, because I like to have some sort of updates on the overpass that you're building over the railroad, the bridge. and the completion time and things like that? Because I get a lot of questions to me, and I have no idea what's going on down there.
Sure, okay. I don't know much more than you do. That's our Public Works Department. That would be a great question to ask Brian Cast, our Public Works Director.
They can come to one of our meetings, or if we have to do this again. But, you know, just give us a kind of idea of what's going on, because this thing is, I've been on this thing since the time it was initiated. It just seems to be, I don't know where they are as far as the finishing is, where they're going to have it done.
Yeah, I can talk to Brian about maybe doing an update at our next meeting, or I can make that part of my staff report.
Sure.
Definitely a big project.
It is. I appreciate that. Thank you, Claire.
I think that is a great idea, Commissioner Bush. It'd be nice to know how they're doing on their initial timeline, if they're behind schedule or if they're still making progress.
Well, there's a lot of rumors out there as usual in a town like this size, but I like to know the actual facts.
That's right. That's right.
Finishing time.
Okay, if there's nothing else from the commission, I have two things. One is a suggestion for Main Street, and that is, I don't know if this is possible, but maybe we could do a front yard Oktoberfest, and everybody could just have a little party on the front porch. And as long as people aren't driving around saying hi to everybody, I don't know how that would be a problem, but it might be kind of fun.
You have to have a designated driver.
Well, I'm not sure that's a great idea. Just don't drive around at all. Don't drive that day. And
Patrick,
then
Patrick, I'll pass that on, okay?
Yeah, there might be something
we're thinking of trying to think of some type of alternative activity to have, you know, in view of that. That's a great idea. So I'll pass that on to Mary Kay.
Great. And then last but not least, we've hit on this already, but Claire, congratulations, well earned, and this is the first time I think most of us have seen you probably since the promotion, so congratulations to you.
Are we going to be doing this next month, do you know, so we're prepared?
I don't know yet if I'll have anything to bring next month, but I'll give you guys a couple weeks notice.
Good.
Great, thank you. Does anyone else have any comment they'd like to make? Going once. Going twice.
Go ahead, Pat.
We are adjourned. See everyone next month.
Good night.